recording. So how have you been?
I'm great, thank you. How are you, and how was vacation?
Vacation was great. My daughter graduated from college. And
oh yeah, I saw it on Twitter. That's so nice.
Yeah. So she's home now, and she'll have her summer job, and then she'll look for a regular job, and all the process of getting them out of the nest.
So. Right. It'll take a while before I get there.
Yeah. Got three out of college, two out of the house. So her older brother will move out this month. He's got his own apartment now that he's got his job. So it's like one step at a time, get him out there in the world.
Right. And well, I guess this gets me to the topic I never got around to last time, right? Which is parenting. Well, fatherhood specifically. It's a, you know, I've said this in the previous chat that if you told me 5 years ago that I would be in this situation now, I would be telling you, like, are you kidding, right? Mm-hmm. So I'd be totally shocked, right? But here I am. I'm married. I got two kids, right? So,
how old are your kids?
That 2 year old. I have a 2 year old son, and my daughter is turning 1 year old this Friday.
Little.
Yeah. They're really little, right? Right. And then it's strange because, right? So I was listening to the Jordan Peterson, Joe Rogan podcast last night in the car. Mm-hmm. I was on the road. I was going to fetch my wife from her office, and there was something that Joe said there. That okay, so he was talking about, Jordan was asking him how do you get into stand-up comedy, and Joe said, well, you just got to go there and do it because there are no books, there are no classes that you can sign up for that's going to tell you how to do this. You just have to, number one, look at it. Look at the people who are doing it and see how they're doing it. And number two, just do it. Right? And you're going to screw up a lot for the first couple of years. And that's pretty much it. And you know, who was that guy on your channel a couple of weeks ago? He's having a baby, I think, and he was asking what books and resources and so on, right?
Yeah.
But you know, we've attended our fair share of parenting and relationship classes. Mm-hmm. My mom has given me some books here related to that sort of thing. I bought a couple of my own, but fundamentally it's like stand-up comedy, as Joe Rogan tells it, you know. There's really no one who can, there's really no book or, yeah, no, there's no book, there's no class that you can take that's really going to prepare you for this. You just have to see other people do it, and you just have to do it,
right? Well part of it too, yes, is I just finished recording a video on language where, so let's say you read a book about parenting. We have a great deal of confidence in this process. I'm going to read a book and then I'm going to apply it.
Right.
Those are two different systems. What you naturally apply tends to be the way you were parented. And so to actually disrupt those patterns with another pattern usually involves, well, you might read a book, and then you might discuss it with your wife, and then you might do something and the other watches you and says, this is why parenting with two people is, especially parenting with a man and a woman, because then you've got two different opinions on it. And I'm not trying to discount your father watching you parent or your mother watching your parent, but basically, I mean, the idea is parenting is so important that one thing is, okay, this is, let's say this is, these are good rules about parenting. Okay, well, let's gain some wisdom there. Well, another thing is getting that wisdom inside of you and actually being able to act it out, because what we know is that we hear good advice all the time and we don't live it. This is a big deal.
Yeah, exactly. Otherwise, people wouldn't be leaving church.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's exactly
all
right.
The church would be full and all of the evils of the world would have been solved, right?
That's right.
It doesn't work that way.
No.
But I've just, you know, it's not been a long time. It's been 3 years. And exactly that process that you're talking about, I had a good fortune to I guess come out of a good household, right? I mean my parents didn't divorce; they were there. They're still together, right? Mm-hmm. And both of my parents were working, but they were pretty intentional about it, right? And even up to now, at least I'm trying to distinguish the part where, like, I tell my wife, okay, this is from the school of parenting of my mom, right? And one of the most important things that I got from that school of parenting is that my mom always says, you know, kids, there are other people except they're smaller. right, because I think that's important. That seems trivial, right? But I guess it's important because what that means is that they have their own minds, right? And they have their own personalities. They have their own. They're basically their own thing, right? And a common temptation in modern society is that kids are somewhere between pets and lifestyle accessories.
That is true.
It's like, no, I don't want a baby. I just want a dog because they're easier to take care of. Like, I'm not sure about that.
That might be the title of this talk. because what you just said there. Well, sometimes they become idols too.
Yeah. Exactly.
It is a really complex deal, but you're exactly right.
Well, I want to get into that, but I just want to say something, right? So some people, okay, dogs are easier. Not necessarily. I have a cousin who has a Saint Bernard. Imagine having a Saint Bernard in the Philippines. This is something like I spend. Let me think in my head what that is in U.S. dollar terms. Is
it? Oh, I can't imagine. Because I lived in the Caribbean, and so I know what it is to live in a tropical climate. I had Rottweilers in the Caribbean that are at least short hair, but St. Bernard in the Philippines, oh.
Yeah, that poor guy. Dog. Yeah. I like that dog. He's a really nice dog, but he's there in front of the fan. My cousin is, okay, how much do you spend for feeding that dog? Is it something like, thinking about this, it comes out to something like $200 a month US. And I said, you know, it's more than what I spend for my two kids. So yeah, not necessarily, guys, right? Yeah. But anyway, I want to get into that idol part that you said. That's so true. And here in the Philippines, and I think in the US also, there's a very strong, what they call the cult of youth.
Yes.
Right? So when I was in school, and really, this really connects to how Jordan Peterson is managing to reach out to young people, right? Because they tell you, you're the young people, so you're like the future of the country, like yada yada yada, blah blah blah. And I never believed that for 1 second, right? Because I knew my teachers were lying. I knew the priests were lying when they said that, right? All of the authority figures were lying when they said that. Basically, something to the effect like the youth are going to save the Philippines and they're going to save the world. No, I never believed that for 1 second, right? And I knew that they were lying. And I'm not saying that they were. I'm not saying they were liars, but that's sort of the message that they grew up in. And I never believed it for one bit because I knew that I was young and at the same time useless. Hmm. Right? If you're 14 years old, what do you know? Yeah. Right? And I don't think I could even do long division consistently when I was 14. Never mind. I don't think I can do so now with all of these gadgets, right? We didn't have smartphones when I was in high school. Gosh, I feel old now. But I think
it's right to deconstruct that because you're right. There's a few things going on there. Number one, a lot of kids hear that and it's, well, you just put a whole lot of pressure on those poor kids because
exactly.
If the kid is smart and self-aware, they know how little they know. And number two, it's sort of a humble brag on the part of the present generation that's telling them that, because what they're in a sense saying is that the past generations that educated us were morons. We now know things, and so we're indoctrinating you in the truth. And so it's they're saying more about themselves than they're actually saying about the kids. I agree with you 100%. And Jordan Peterson, I love the way he takes this on. It's a dumb thing to say, and it shouldn't be said.
It's completely dumb. And I now see these social media activists or teenagers like that Swedish girl and those. And then you have a couple of those school shooting survivors there in the U.S. One is on the anti-gun side, and one is on the pro-gun side. So basically, both guys just like, David Hogg. Yeah, now I remember their names. And Kyle, whatever the name of that guy is. But both sides took two teenagers to say that, okay, so these are our mascots, right?
That's exactly right. These are our mascots. That's
right?
Exactly right. Yeah.
Right. And you know, you have to believe them because they're kids. No, you stupid idiots. No. You don't believe. Okay. Which gets me to another cultural myth. This is specifically a Filipino cultural myth. They say kids don't lie because they're kids. And maybe not teenagers, right? But we mean little kids, right?
Really? They think kids don't lie.
Yeah, kids don't lie. And I also never believed that for a second. Right? And yeah, maybe not teenagers, but some little kids, something like if they're younger than six, maybe they don't lie. But actually, they do. They do a lot because I also didn't believe that because I remember lying when I was a kid. And I remember lying mainly to get myself out of sticky situations. And also, I remember lying just for the sake of a social experiment, you know, because you're a kid, you know. I read some report on some psychology research where they found out that kids who are smart, and I was a smart kid, or at least they said that I was a smart kid, right? And I did pretty well in school in the early days, so I guess I was smarter than the average kid. They lie. They learn how to lie earlier, and I guess okay. So that's all right. I remember lying to my classmates about there being, let's say we only had PE class, physical education, twice a week, and I remember one time my friend asked me, did we have PE today? I said, no, we didn't. But actually, we did. I just wanted to see if he'd believe me and not show up. And he didn't show up. I was like, yeah, that sounds really mean now in hindsight. But,
yeah.
You know, I didn't just lie as a kid to get myself out of sticky situations. I also lied to just to see what the heck is going to happen if I lie.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And that got me thinking, why do we have this whole cult of youth thing? And as you said, it's a humble brag. This generation is going to raise like the generation that's going to cure cancer and colonize Mars and crack nuclear fusion and that sort of thing. And because the ones previous to it are total morons. Yeah, and
ones who had them.
Yeah, I've kept, you know, we're getting a long way to deconstructing this narrative now because now we're into the ones who came before are morons, right?
Yeah.
I like the way, you know, modernity is very anti-traditionalist, right? But I like the way G.K. Chesterton explained it, right? Tradition is the democracy of the dead.
Yes. Yeah.
Right? So you're not any better just because you're walking around and breathing. Right? And there's something to be said about having to learn from the wisdom of your elders. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, let me tell you something interesting, right? So here in Filipino or in the Tagalog language, which is what we speak here in Manila, there are two words for that mean old. There's luma, which was roughly translates to old, and there's matanda or nakatatanda. So that's the same root word, which generally maps out in English to mean elderly, right? But the word matanda, right, which comes from the word tanda, which means a marker, right? So a marker. So it literally, when you say matanda, a person who writes marks out things, right? Or we also use tanda to mean to remember, right? There are actually two words for remember as well. There's alala and there's tanda. Alala is more of reminisce, and tanda is more of to remember because there's a lesson to be learned out of that, right?
Huh.
So you never in English, like, you never refer to objects as elderly, right?
Right.
But in Tagalog, you never refer to people as luma. Because that just means, oh, that guy's worn out. Right?
Okay.
Right. Okay. Maybe if you're being really insulting, right?
Yeah.
And that guy's luma. That means he's so worn out he couldn't stand up. I mean if it was a white guy saying it, we'd excuse him. But if he looked Filipino, it's like you're being insulting. Right, because that's the connotation.
Yep.
And in Asia generally, there's a lot of respect for elders, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, we're probably the second most Americanized culture here in the East. The first one being Korea, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I watch. You know, my wife and I continue to watch these Korean dramas and. I'm just constantly amazed at the ritualized respect for people older than yourself. I mean, how they drink and hand gestures, and I don't understand Korean. I know that's, I hear that it's, you know, it's built into the language, but that's such a stark difference from, you know, in at least in American culture, just so dismissive of anyone who's older. It's really pretty brutal.
Yeah, and you know the song Father and Son? Yeah, by Cat Stevens. Islam. Let me just pull up their lyrics. There's actually a song in Tagalog by a popular group it's actually the same song, right? It's the same song in the same sense that Jordan Peterson says it's the same story. It's the same song. It's an elder person and a younger person talking, and the elder says that you have to listen to me because I know how things work, and the younger person says, no, I have to see for myself how this is, right? And at some point, I noticed there's father and son, and there's the Tagalog song, which is Batang Bata Ka Pa, right? So, which means you're still very young. That's what it literally means. And I noticed they're the same song, but the way the younger person talks in Batang Bata Ka Pa is very differential. It's something like, I know I'm still young. I still have a lot to learn, but I wanna see for myself because I wanna see the different colors and vagaries of life, and I have my own rights. Whereas, I just loaded up the lyrics here for father and son, and the tone is very different. Yeah, how can I try to explain? Because when I do, he turns away again. It's been the same old story. Mm-hmm. The moment I could talk, I was ordered. Yeah, that's the word that he used to listen. There's a way, and I know I have to go away. Right? That's just like so. This is such a marked difference, and it's the same song, right? But the Tagalog song is very deferential to the elder. At least the way the young person is talking, the way the elder person is talking, they actually sound pretty similar. Yeah. But
I think American society has lost. Parents are now, it was so interesting when I was reading Jordan Peterson's 12 Rules for Life for the first time, when I was listening to his child rearing advice, and that part of the book got quite a bit of criticism.
Yeah, chapter 5. That's my favorite.
Yeah. And I was reading it and I thought, sounds like my mom. I mean, the way Jordan Peterson describes, you know, but my mom's probably going to listen to this too. My mom was not intimidated by a child. And she understood that, you know, that little squirt's going to have to learn how to put him or herself to sleep, going to have to learn to how he or she behaves. And fortunately, my wife grew up in the same school, and my children grew up in fear of my wife in some way. she was by no means, I mean, she didn't, I mean, my children got very, very few spankings, and especially, I think maybe the oldest got a few and then the second one. But after him, it's like, after that, we didn't have to, you know, timeouts. And so, but my children all grew up in a sense, this fear, it's not really fear, is that they're afraid of their parents. You know, we have good relationships with our children, but to respect them. And I look around in society and I see so many parents who, they're not parents, and kids need parents. So
I
thought Peterson's chapter 5 was just very good and very commonsensical and much needed, because I see parents, people are afraid of their children, and Peterson is right. Have the world raise a respectful kid that knows how to deal with a boss, knows how to deal with an employer, knows how to be an employee, knows how to learn, is teachable. If your child has all those things, they will go far, because the world will enjoy having them around. If you raise a brat, poor kid, they're going to have a tough time.
Yeah. Gosh. So,
well, and we dealt with, you know, so when we lived in the Dominican Republic, with, you know, it was a very strange experience for us to have domestic help. So we had a woman, a Dominican woman, who worked in our home, and my oldest son Philip was very young then, and one of the things that we kind of had to train Angela, who worked in our home, was the kid is not in charge of you. And, you know, because I saw a number of situations in the Dominican Republic where kids were ordering around adults. And I thought, not my kid. And when I was growing up, you know, I was growing up in the 60s and 70s, and my parents taught us, you know, that's Mr. Clark, and that's Mr. Prather. And some of the adults would say, no, call me Bill. And my mother would look at me like, you're not calling him Bill. It ain't going to happen. And so, you know, and then the adults, but what that created in us was a healthy respect for our elders. And part of this is just from the Bible. You know, it's the fourth commandment, honor your father and mother. And part of that is show respect to elders. There are plenty of stories out there where people are not worthy of respect, but part of respect is it doesn't matter so much how worthy they are of it. It's a self-discipline within you. And I'm so
impressed. Yeah, it's...
Go ahead.
Yeah, it's just... How do I say this? I mean, even my own kids, they're now like, they're so little, especially my son. I'm just surprised how much daddy superpowers I have that my wife doesn't have.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm not talking about, you know, those things that are going viral now, right? Those daddy reflexes. Speaking of which, just this morning, I almost woke my wife up because I was dreaming that my daughter was falling off a ledge and actually lunged to reach out to catch her. And I physically lunged out of my bed. Oh okay. Good thing I didn't wake anybody up.
Yeah.
Right. But what I'm talking about is more of my kid. Look, I took Jordan Peterson's personality test, mm-hmm. and they came out to something like first percentile agreeableness. Right. And my wife, I think she's pretty disagreeable for a woman. So I guess I'm a lot more disagreeable, but I'm guessing she's something like, she didn't take the test, but I'm guessing that she's somewhere around 20%.
You couldn't get her to take the test, could you? She's high and disagreeable. Take this. She's high and agreeableness.
Yeah. And so are my kids. Right. And my kid is extremely stubborn.
Yep.
And I tell my wife, look, that kid, right? Just let him be. Let him make some of his own mistakes, right? Even now that he's little, right? Yep. And he climbs up the stairs and he's fallen off it once, right? But he can run around and he falls, and just like in the Dominican Republic, like here in the Philippines, having domestic help is very common, right? They just go around and some people they look for odd jobs and then they do some. We've hired our own right now, and they're mostly there. They look for other jobs and then they leave and then you hire somebody else, right? And when I see a lot of the other kids, right, running around and then they fall and then you have all of the moms and all of the and all of the nannies chasing after that kid to pick him up, and I remember physically stopping the because we were at the party and our nanny and the nannies of the other kids were running to chase my kid, and they were like, say stop, right, let him pick himself up. And normally, he's really cute the way he does this. He falls over and then he stands up, and then he shakes himself down. Says, "I'm okay." And all of the other kids are my wife is the youngest among her cousins. So all of the other kids, all of his other cousins are older, and so he gets pushed around a lot, and he can take it, right? And just that there are lessons to be learned I remember I was just having some drinks with a high school classmate of mine last week that I haven't met for something like 13 years or for 14 years, probably more, right? Because he went to the States, joined the Air Force, and went to college and stuff, and he came back for because his brother got married, right? So, but anyway, we were talking about some of our school playground exploits and how. There was this one time I turned the tables on a bully. That guy who was the class bully, right? And he tormented everybody. And when it was my turn, I had an umbrella, and I beat that guy up really bad, right? Because that happens when there's no teacher.
Yeah.
And I don't remember, and nobody told the teacher what happened.
Yeah.
But everyone was staring at me. Yeah. Holding that umbrella, yeah. Screaming at this kid,
yeah. Yeah.
And nobody bothered me.
Yep. Yeah.
Again, yeah. Right. Yeah. And if my parents found out about that, or if anybody else's parents found out about that, if the teachers found out about that, there would be hell to pay.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then there would have been no lessons learned.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Because the way the whole anti-bullying thing works now is so counterproductive.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, so if things get really out of hand, the adults have to intervene. But a small thing, an insult, a minor shove, things like that, the kids have to know how to deal with that, because you as a parent are not always going to be there. Right? They have to find out that, okay, if nobody's going to be here for me, how do I? There was another incident in high school where I wasn't really beat up, but someone was chasing me, throwing punches at me, and I just ran away. And the next day, that guy was still challenging me to a fight after school, yeah. During recess. There were a lot of witnesses.
Yeah.
And I tell people this was a formative event, because I learned office politics that day. So what I did, that guy was a year older than me, and he was part of the basketball team, so he was very, you know, I was a nerd, right? And he was challenging me to a fight, but then it was during recess, and there were a lot of people who saw it. So the first thing I did, I was really scared. I was very, very scared out of my wits. And I talked to the other big tough guys in my class, right? Because they knew me. And I just asked them, hey, do you know this and that guy? Right? Yeah, we know him. He's part of the team. Yeah, and then the other kids would come in and say, yeah, because there was this incident earlier during recess where he was challenging you to a fight and that. And then I told the teacher. So I was just scared. In hindsight, the way I'm telling this story makes it seem like I'm very smart. Not really. I just sort of stumbled into the solution by accident. Mm-hmm. Right? And again, it didn't involve teachers until the very last minute. So I first started building a coalition,
yeah.
Among the other kids, right? And especially those especially among the jocks, right? Because and then they would figure out, because then they would, if I told the teacher first, they would probably not be very sympathetic. But since I told them first, and they're like, now, hey, well, why doesn't that guy pick on someone his own size, and so on, and then I told the teacher, and then actually they suggested to me, let's tell the teacher, right, and that's,
yeah,
that's when you do it.
Yeah. Well, you learn,
right?
But I mean, that was an important lesson in terms of, you know, people want. Wisdom is being able to navigate a situation that you don't know how to navigate based on other situations and learning from others. And so you practiced, yeah, you use the community to figure out how, really, because you don't want a community in which some people are just beating up other people because they can. So, yeah. So the community comes around and says, that's not how we are going to live. And, you know, obviously when you get into high school age, it's a different story than if you're in, playground, you know, elementary school age, in terms of what's appropriate, the damage that can be done by people, so on and so forth. And so, yeah, you figure it out.
Yeah. And again, that story makes it sound like I was very smart about it, but I stumbled upon the solution by accident. And some lessons you just have to learn by accident.
Yeah, yeah, that's
school,
true.
School of hard knocks, right? Yep. No book. Again, going back to that Joe Rogan, to paraphrase Joe Rogan, no book, no class is going to teach you this.
Yeah, yeah.
And certainly the way that, you know, it's gotten, I guess it's gotten so bad there in the States that they have now safe spaces and things in college, of all places. Yeah, that doesn't really help, because there's this strange, we want to take down the authorities because, you know, they're morons, but then we want to run to them because they're going to save us from all of this racist and so on. Yeah, that, right. You can't have it both ways, right?
Right. That's right.
But you have to be able to, you know, keep a balance between, there's a tension there. You have to both respect authority and at the same time recognize, you know, have enough, yeah, I guess the word is wisdom. Have enough wisdom to know, you know, it's like, I like the way Jordan Peterson puts it. Do things the way everybody's doing it, because there's a reason why everybody's doing it, right? And then have like, if you, and then like break rules. I mean, don't follow stupid rules. Break rules judiciously, right? Because the rules are there for a reason, you know, and Chesterton's fans, you know, and everything. And just can't keep, and that's what a book and a class cannot teach you, is how to distinguish those situations where, okay, and you know, I've worked for huge corporations where everyone is just a stickler about following rules, and it is insane. You just have so much paperwork, and you have these guys who are setting up meetings to basically ask for permission for extremely trivial things, right? And that's just a complete waste of time. Guys, you're grown adults. You have college degrees. You can do this by yourself. But no, we can't, because, you know, the process says that we have to, you know, fill out this form and get signatures from this and that, right? And yeah, you have to know how to, right? I'm getting scatterbrained at the moment, but let me just jump on to another point that I remember reading in a book, right? The job of a parent is to make himself useless as quickly as possible. Right. And I immediately knew what that meant. There is this strong tendency, I guess it's a stronger tendency among mothers than it is among dads, right? To just baby your babies because they're babies. And I remember my wife and I were talking in the car, because I go to, every weekend I go to my parents' house, so this is just so they can see the kids, right? And my mom especially loves little kids, right? And my little kids love her back very much, and they hate it when we leave. it's good. And my son will be kicking and screaming and crying at least until he gets into the car and gets his milk bottle. And my wife told me, there's going to be some point that milk bottle trick is going to stop working. And he said, you know, that's a good thing, because that means that kid is growing up. Yeah. Right? Yeah. He's going to figure out that it's a trick.
Yeah.
So we have to find out some other trick.
Yeah.
Right. And And I tell my friends, because, well, a lot of them are also married now, but we're all, you know, young. And I wasn't the earliest. I wasn't the youngest who got married, but I was among the youngest who got married. So a very funny thing happened. People started approaching me for relationship and parenting advice. It's like, that's so strange. Since when did I become the group expert in this?
Yeah.
Well, you are now.
I told
one of them, said, you know, to be a parent is to live in the domain of chaos. and she was like, is that a good thing or a bad thing? It's neither. It's just a thing.
And I
make jokes about, you know, if you're you will learn physics when changing a diaper, right? Classical mechanics. You have that projectile motion and because you will see that parabolic arc getting drawn in the air as you're changing the diaper.
And the kid
decides to, well, you know, I just want to do it now while you're changing me.
So I
make fun of that, but you know, like I said in the last video, do you ever get tired of it? Like, yeah, of course I do, but what worthwhile thing isn't going to exhaust you at the end of the day, right? And nothing to me is more delightful than coming home from the office, right? I'm very lucky here in Manila. It's a premium if you live 10 minutes away from the office because traffic is just so bad, right? Right. Think of, I know you Americans think of LA traffic as bad. You ain't seen nothing yet. Come to Asia, people.
Yeah, I've seen pictures, and just having lived in a country where traffic does not flow like it does in the United States and the Dominican Republic. So you know, the road would cross a train track, and so a train would come. And so normally everyone just stays in their lane. Well, in the Dominican Republic, they would, so the car in front would stop, and then a car would go on the shoulder, then the car would go on the other lane, and then the car would go on the other shoulder.
Yeah.
And some would, so the train would be gone, and you had, and this would happen on both sides. And all these cars, and it's like, people, don't you know what's going to happen when the train goes away? And so then it's like, everybody honked, and then, you know, 10 minutes sorted out, and on it goes. It'd be like,
you know, I think it has actually gotten better since, I mean, the driver discipline has gotten better, I think, but then there are more cars.
I believe it.
Where were we?
Job of parent is to make yourself useless as quickly as possible.
It's to make yourself useless as quickly as possible. And
I think part of the reason, I mean, you mentioned that, so you were one of the earliest to get married. You're probably one of the earliest in your peer groups to have children. It's interesting how, again, we have this built-in natural tendency to look for someone who's a little bit ahead of us. And you might say, well, why would they ask me? But part of it is context, because if your peer group, you know, you just have this bond with your peer group, and then you all sort of do it together. And that's a fun thing in terms of parenting too. And I look at young parents often, and you know, it's because the irony is that, so my oldest child is 28 now. Yeah, he's 28. And things have changed a lot in 28 years.
And, I'm sure.
And so someone having a child now, some things are the same, some things are sort of timeless, but other things have changed a lot in 28 years. So people naturally look to their peers. They look to experts, they look to parents, they look to peers. They very much crowdsource that knowledge, and hopefully somewhere in the mix, if they have any wisdom, they'll do okay.
Yeah, crowdsource. Okay, so there's a word that I want to latch on to, right? And I just want to connect this with this whole Jordan Peterson phenomenon and how you've been talking about like modernity versus postmodernity, etc. Right? Crowdsource. So, one thing that one major blind spot, I would say, of the secular materialists, the rationalist people. Okay, so we can just figure out everything because we are smart. Well, number one, you're not as smart as you think, right? And you know, that's just an appeal to authority, because that's just an appeal to tradition. Well, why not? You know, I mean, if you, it's not okay. Just because something was said by an authority, just because something has been traditional, does not mean it's the right thing. But it's a good place to start. And it's just, the world is just way too complex, just way too big for you to be able to pack it in your head. Like, how long does it take someone to, let's say, get a PhD or get an MD, right? It takes a decade, right, before you get to that point. And you're simply never going to be able to. What the hell is peer review anyway? This is just basically appeal to authority, right? It's not in a peer review journal, right? Because it was said by some authority. Like, guys, what the hell is peer review anyway? It's an appeal to authority, and that authority being your peers, who presumably are about as familiar in your field as you are, right? This is just like my friends asking me, how do you go about this and that, right? It's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing, right? Because we just have to. We're social creatures, yeah. Right? And maybe we were cats, but then cats also learn from other cats, and they also learn from the environment, right? So they're not. We're not angels, there.
But we are not.
Yeah.
No, we are not.
So we are not angels, and you know, here's a heretical thought, right? Because in the previous video, that there were some good natured jokes about saint worshiping by a bunch of Lutherans in there, right?
Okay.
If you want to take the edge of your modernity, pray to a saint. Because I remember you mentioned secular modernity as late stage Protestantism,
yeah.
Right? And why pray to a saint? I'm not going to get into the theology, because that's a whole other kind of worms, and I'm not the expert on this, but I've done it and it works. Okay, and you know, you can test the spirit, right? You can fence your little prayer and say, like, Jesus, if this is a sin, please forgive me. And to who, I don't know, who do you pray to? I guess if you're Baptist, you pray to Billy Graham or something like that, right?
I ain't praying to Billy Graham.
Right, and say that just ask for a small favor, right? That your mother-in-law gets well because she's in the hospital and things like that, right?
I'm not praying to Billy Graham. If we don't know what those with the Lord can see or not, but I think if you prayed to Billy Graham, you'd get an answer, something like Samuel gave to Saul. Why are you bothering me? What's wrong with you praying to me?
That might be the case. That might be the case, and then you might be surprised that he gets around to doing it.
Yeah. No.
And I'm just offended the Protestants here because I asked them to pray the saints. I'm just offended the Catholics for saying that.
You should remember that one too. Pray to Billy Graham. I ain't praying to Billy Graham. It's not gonna happen. That's funny. Well, we're about out of time. You got any last minute things? I got to close it up and walk around a little bit for my next conversation.
Yeah, sure. Okay. So. Yeah, just to take off the edge of your modernity, right? Praying to saints, and I just want to wrap up that point. You know, praying to saints is a strange phenomenon, because, you know, why would the Lord need
assistance from the saints, right? And you know, if there's a lot of things to unpack here, but if you go with, let's say, Catholic and Orthodox ecclesiology, right? So like the saints are part of the church, and that's part of the whole crowdsourcing thing, right? So and you're not alone, me, Jesus, and my Bible, right? So you're you, and there's me, and there's Paul Van Der Klee, and there's you know, Billy Graham, right? And so on, right? They're all part of the church, and that whole thing is part of the whole economy of grace that the Lord has set up, you know, and you know, not to, you know, going back down to earth, right? My wife asked me this once. Is parenting now harder than it was before? And again, you said a lot of things have changed in 30 years. Some of the things are good, some things are bad, but one particular pitfall in modern parenting is that it's no longer the community, it's an arms race. It's an arms race, right? Like I said in the last video, what do you want to be? And the answer to that is usually CEO of Fortune 500 company, president of the United States. I want to be an astronaut. How many astronauts are there? There are like a dozen of them.
Yeah.
Right? How many presidents of the United States? Just one.
One at a time.
Yeah. How many Fortune 500 CEOs are there? There are only 500 of them.
Yeah.
Right? And that whole thing, right? That meant you can draw a straight line from what do you want to be for when you grow up to two things. One is the college admission scandal, right? You can draw a straight line from here to there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? And if it's not the college admission scandal, it's the hikikomori phenomenon. You know the hikikomori phenomenon in Japan. There are something like 500,000 young men who are simply disengaged. You know, you guys think you've got an incel problem. That's nothing on the hikikomori phenomenon. They just never go out of the house. They don't have jobs. They don't have relationships with anybody.
Really?
They just stay in the house. 500,000 men.
Wow.
Right. So if you know, when Jesus said in the Gospels, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And then you read that other passage that says, take up your cross. And like, how do you reconcile those two?
Yeah.
Right? And which you know, we're out of time. So, but I'll just wrap this up. There's a lot of things to unpack here. Maybe in another conversation. Compare Christ's burden versus the burden of the world, right? So we say, like, for example, in Opus Dei, we teach people, yeah, you have to try to be at the top 1% of your profession or your trade, which is not actually so hard. Just apply the, well, I call it the Peterson-Adams rule, after Jordan Peterson and Scott Adams. Just get good at multiple things and start intersecting. And for me, this is the true intersectionality. Start intersecting your competencies. Right. And you will find some niche where you are the best at it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I've seen disabled people, you know, and sick people who are very good at what they're doing because of Peterson Adams.
Yeah.
Right. But then you have the burden of the world, which is you're not only to be the top 1% of your profession, you have to be at the top 0.000001% of your profession. And at the same time, there's no grace, there's no mercy. If you don't become CEO, you don't become like, if you like basketball, but you don't get into the NBA, you're garbage, right? That's the burden of the world, right? So that versus the burden of Christ, right? So it's like a cross versus carrying a container ship.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
I have to go because the other guys don't want to leave them online. But I will. Yeah. I will end that.
I can wrap it with that. Yeah. That's all I wanted to say for now.
Okay. Okay, Carlos. Well, it was good talking to you again. I see the sun is up, and
yep. And I already had my coffee, so I'm gonna take my breakfast now.
Today begins. All right, Carlos. Take care.
All right. You too. Thanks, Bye-bye. Paul.